We've got Jim Brown, the Director of Community Development, with us, and Catherine Lorbear, is that hopefully correct? She's our new Assistant Director. And we've got Wendy Lane and Lisa Ogle as the permit techs. And then I could do a roll call for the planning commissioners. Vicki Malloy here. James Wiggs. Absent. Ryan Kelso's here. Jim Newberry. Absent. Carl Blum is here. Pat Hammersmith.
Here.
And Greg Becker.
Here.
And I know we've got Joel Walensky, is that correct?
It's Joel Walensky.
Yes.
But I'm glad to join on, folks.
Thank you for joining us, Joel. And Edward Martinez.
Here. Nice to join as well.
Thank you for joining us, Edward. The purpose of this hearing is for a Planning Commission to receive testimony for future action relating to the development of code and definitions for short-term rentals. All persons wishing to be heard at this public meeting should have signed up through the Zoom registration link found on the Planning Commission website. Before we begin hearing the public comment, if there are any written materials that anyone else wishes to submit without speaking, if so, please email those to cd.strcomment@co.chelan.us. All written comments must be received by Wednesday, September 16th at 5 p.m. The Planning Commission will now begin receiving public testimony in regards to the development of county codes for short-term rentals. This hearing is being recorded.
Mr. Chair, may I interrupt for one moment?
Go right ahead, Jim.
For that email address that you gave, that is currently turned off. It will be turned on tomorrow morning. So do not try to submit written comments to that address tonight, because it wasn't going to be turned on until you started this process and called for that. So first thing in the morning, I will have them turn on that address box so that it can receive comments. Otherwise, they get a bounce back message tonight.
Thank you, Jim. Please be aware, some ground rules for providing testimony this evening. All speakers must clearly speak and state their name and address, and please only one speaker per household or formal organization so we can get a diversity of testimony. Each speaker will have 2 minutes to provide their testimony, and we'll hear a doorbell chime when there's 30 seconds remaining. The mic is cut off promptly at 2 minutes to allow the upcoming speaker to go. We will begin the speakers in order of registration. The first registered is the first to speak, and then move down the list accordingly from there. Please adjust the setting so that your name matches the registration in which shows up on the screen so that we can see you. We need to be able to find you to unmute you so that you can testify. We will also identify the upcoming person to speak so that they may be prepared to begin promptly when the current speaker is finished. All comments should be addressed to the chair, myself, and should be relevant to the topic, limit redundancy of earlier testimony, should be limited and should not be part of, and what you're delivering should be not of personal in nature. Unruly behavior such as booing or hissing or harassing marks is strictly prohibited, and we are not using the text feature of Zoom. The hearing will conclude promptly at 9 p.m. Whether or not all oral comments have been given or not. We also encourage that you submit your comments in writing to the email address that I stated previously. prior to the deadline of September 16th, especially if we get through, we've got 100 and some participants that are asking to speak tonight. So if for some reason we do not get through all of that, please do follow up with written testimony to the Planning Commission. So at this point, I'm going to ask if there's any comments from the other planning commissioners before we begin. Looks like Carl is unable to unmute. Can we have it the same with Vicki? Can the other planning commissioners be unmuted?
Yes, how that works is I click to ask them to unmute and then they have to select it. And I'm showing that Greg is unmuted and he was making sound for a long time. I'll mute him and then unmute him again, but he was unmuted.
Carl. Is...
My mistake.
There we go. And also Vicki Malloy.
I'm already on.
Ah, okay.
And thank you.
Unlike Dina, I won't blame that from their voices sound too much alike. I just made a mistake. Sorry.
One thing we need to note is that as commissioners, we will not be able to, like, we can't turn mute ourselves and turn us back on. It has to be turned back on by community development. So I'm going to keep mine open. Because after you gave me sound, I muted it so that, you know, I wouldn't make any sound, and then it wouldn't let me unmute again. There you go.
That's correct. You may want to mute once we start taking testimony, only from the standpoint of it's not a back and forth. It's up to you. But if you raise your hand and I see it, my first reaction will be to unmute you.
Okay.
That'll work for me.
All right. So hearing no other comments, then we will begin taking testimony. And based upon the order in which each of you were registered for tonight's hearing. So first up, we have Bruce Williams, which will be followed by Barbara Rossing.
Would you like me to start?
Yep, Bruce.
Yes, please, Bruce.
I'm sorry, Jim.
Go right ahead, Bruce.
Okay, my name is Bruce Williams. I live, my primary residence is 8050 East Leavenworth Road. We bought our property in 2001. I'm a lawyer and I read the zoning codes before we bought our property, and having an absentee owner STR next door to us would be completely inconsistent with my reading the code and our reasonable expectations. I have submitted some legal memos to you all and a third to the commissioners, and I'm just going to summarize some high points because I know we have two new planning commissioners. I do not oppose tourist accommodations, hotels, restaurants, or STRs in tourist or commercial zones, and I do not oppose owner-occupied STRs in residential zones. But if an STR is not owner-occupied, there is no resident, and that is inappropriate for a residential zone. Residential areas should be only for residents. A few key points from the legal memos. The current code does not provide for absentee owner STRs in residential neighborhoods. The only tourist accommodations provided for in residential areas are bed and breakfasts and guest inns, both of which have to be owner occupied. Their primary use has to be residential. The code does not allow hotels, for example, in residential zones. And absentee owner STRs are simply little and unsupervised hotels. They're not being used as a residence, so they should not. They're inconsistent with residential zoning. STRAC has claimed that STR investors would have a takings claim against the county if STRs are prohibited. That is simply wrong. Even if STRs were held to be legal now, or if the county gave permission to a few individual owners to have an STR. 30 seconds, okay, that 15. Is not the county from regulating them or prohibiting them. So you should do what is right for the community, what is right for the residents, and not be scared off by their threats. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Next, we got Barbara Rossing, followed by Pat and Rick Thurlby.
We're unmuting Barbara.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi, I'm Barbara Rossing, full-time resident of Chelan County at 7785 East Leavenworth Road. I hope you will be guided by the current documents, namely the comprehensive plan and the district use chart, and that would mean passing a stricter draft code with stronger protections for residents and no grandfathering of absentee owner short-term rentals. Both documents make clear that zoning regulation, not nuisance law, is the way to protect residential zones. So do not grant absentee owner tier two rentals a property right. They are non-conforming and should be sunsetted either immediately, as the city of Leavenworth did, or after a maximum of, let's say, 2 years. It's not fair to rural residents to retroactively grandfather hundreds of short-term rentals with absentee owners, granting them a property right not currently given in the district use chart. Just like the marijuana issue, the county must use zoning regulations to separate incompatible uses. Please draw on the wisdom of the cities of Chelan County, namely Leavenworth and Chelan, who have thriving tourist economies, allowing short-term rentals in some zones, but protecting most residential zones from absentee owner whole house rentals. Maybe we need more commercial zones or tourist zones, but don't turn our rural residential neighborhoods, that's RR, RW, RV, into sacrifice zones. Don't grandfather existing short-term rentals. Such a sweeping change of zoning everywhere would be truly unfair to people who bought their property knowing the district use code. Where are we supposed to move if we don't want to have a short-term rental next to us? The 5% density cap is very important, as the Burke studies have shown, but we'll never get there if you grandfather everyone. Just in closing, I want to cite one short-term rental owner's letter. She said, "We are no different from a car wash, a cafe, or any other business, but zoning regulations prohibit car washes and cafes in residential zones. So I guess what we're asking is the same as them, that is, honor the current zoning code that prohibits commercial uses. Thank you."
Thank you, Barbara. Pat or Rick Thurlby, followed by Mara Boham.
Just a second, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to find her on the screen. There she is. Okay, asking to unmute. And who's up next?
Mara Boham will be next.
Hi. I'm Pat Thurlby, primary residence, 1210 Dempsey Road, a 30-year rural residential property owner, and a registered Chelan County voter. In the initial planning commissioner's dialogues, aided by Lisa of Burke Consulting, 10 people were the maximum number of occupants allowed in tier two rentals until the final discussions concluded with 12. When Lisa was asked by a commissioner about the change from 10 to 12, she explained that the data from STR marketing sites revealed that 12 was a common occupant number. This is flawed reasoning. Allowing 12 people as opposed to 10 uses the problem for the solution. 12 guests is a high impact burden for neighbors in residential areas. In current unregulated rentals where the statistics were obtained, sleeping areas often include more than two people per bedroom and use of additional non-bedroom beds. The newest draft correctly allows two guests per legal bedroom. 12 people would require a six-bedroom home. This type of home is unusually large and incompatible in most rural residential zoning, where lots are frequently well smaller than their designated zone acreage. For tier two, please enforce a 10-person limit, a five-bedroom maximum, with corresponding septic and correct parking spaces. I also plead that all fire pits, outdoor open flame devices, portable or fixed, on a rental property must be locked or removed during fire season. Used by guests unfamiliar with our environment, the risk is just too great.
15 seconds.
Strong winds can blow unintended natural debris and flammable litter through a flame and onto an adjacent dry landscape. Thank you. My husband is next, and I believe you stated that family members at the same address were only allowed one speaker?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Mara Boham, followed by Crevel Skinnerland.
Hi, Mara Bowman. Can you hear me?
Yes, Mara. Thank you.
7840 East Leavenworth Road. Owner absent short-term rentals are a business, and unlike a business that someone operates out of the home in which they live, these are commercial enterprises and do not belong in residentially zoned areas. You've all heard the statistics, but they're worth repeating. Short-term rentals in the Leavenworth zip code area 98826 have increased from 59 to 868 in just the past 5 years. Most of these are owner-absent businesses. This density must be decreased dramatically to restore our residential areas. An alternative to an immediate all-out ban on these illegally operating businesses would be to allow for a sunset period of no more than 2 years in which the owner can either sell, occupy, or generate income by renting their property out on a long-term basis. In addition, density can be decreased by not allowing the permit to follow the sale of the home. With a limited number of permits available, it is not fair to those who have been on a waiting list to allow a new owner to be moved to the head of the line. The county is under no obligation to protect the investment of short-term rental owners by allowing for permits to stay with the home. Allowing for a permit transfer would keep that particular property value inflated, giving them an unfair advantage over other properties. In addition, this drives up housing prices, decreasing the stock of affordable homes and leaving existing homeowners with the negative consequences of an ever-increasing property tax from overinflated property values. In short, the county should abide by the existing code, which prohibits non-owner occupied short-term rentals in residentially zoned areas. Number two, allow a maximum of 2 years for existing owner absent short-term rentals to change usage. And number three, do not allow the short-term rental permit to automatically transfer. Thank you.
Thank you. Crevel Skinnerland, followed by Kevin Kane.
Yes, my name is Crevel Skinnerland. I live at 510 Dempsey Road and have been a full-time resident in Chelan County since 2008 and a property owner since 1990. One of the positive outcomes of your July 9th draft code was the decision to prohibit Tier 2 and Tier 3 STRs in rural residential 2.5 recreation, waterfront, and rural village zoning on lots smaller than 2.5 acres. This decision shows that the commission recognizes that separation of incompatible uses is critical in order to protect neighborhoods. However, the protection included in the July 9th draft falls short of what's needed. The group Residents United for Neighbors submitted a detailed data analysis that compared actual lot size to the underlying zoning district in RR20, RR10, RR5, RR2.5 and RW zoning districts. This analysis was done using the county's interactive GIS system, which is available to the public online. The data from this study clearly shows that a high percentage of lots in rural residential zones are significantly smaller than their underlying zoning would indicate. For example, 59% of the lots in RR5 are smaller than 5 acres, and 42% are smaller than 2.5 acres. In the RR2.5 zoning district, 60% are smaller than 2.5 acres. The county should not rely on the zone designation to protect rural neighborhoods from commercial uses.
30 seconds.
It must also establish a minimum lot size to ensure adequate separation between commercial and residential uses. Thank you.
Thank you, Crevel. And we did receive your email as well. Kevin Kane, followed by Karen Smith.
Kevin Kane is not signed in unless he's signed in under a different, just a second, I got to sign in, this is so long. Unless he's signed in under a different name, I can't find him in the list. And okay. Who was the next one was?
Karen Smith, followed by Lee Adams.
Okay. Let me pull up Karen. I do not have a Karen Smith. Okay, and looking for Lee.
Lee Adams, followed by Cynthia Gotouzo. I'm sorry if I'm slaughtering names here. G-O-T-U-Z-Z-O, Cynthia.
Okay, Lee Adams was also not there. And Cynthia?
Cynthia.
Oops, just a minute. I gotta get rid of all the letters.
Followed by Guy Evans.
Do not have Cynthia. Do not have Guy Evans.
Followed by Jerry Jennings.
No for Jerry.
And then followed by Rachel Scown.
Jerry Jennings is here. I'm asking him to unmute.
Hi, my name is Jerry Jennings. I live at 87 Lois Lane in Plain. I'm a full-time resident. I've lived and worked here for years. I would like to talk about enforcement or the lack of. The county is currently working on a plan to move enforcement to the Sheriff's Department. I've heard the details of it and it's a good plan. And I really truly believe it'll be a win-win for everyone, but it will take about a year and a half to implement. Our problem is immediate. In the meantime, you're looking at adding layers of code to an issue that can't currently be enforced. Why can't we go back to the original code? It's well written. I think it could be tightened up a bit. The definition of residential could be more clearly defined and use that code. Short-term rentals are not compatible in residential neighborhoods. They're a business, plain and simple. If the owner had done his due diligence, his or hers, they would have, and read the code and the use chart, they would know that. Mistakes have been made by the county, turning a blind eye to this evolving problem. But do we really want to keep making these mistakes? Chelan County has every right to prohibit short-term rentals. The residents are the backbone to this county. We don't need more tourism. We have enough. A county with more tourists than residents is a county that will fail. Please protect the residents and their investment and their years and years of hard work to make this county the place that we love to live in. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Rachel Scown, followed by Tyler Vickery.
I've been looking. Rachel's not on the list. Tyler's not showing on our list. And Steve Keene isn't showing on our list.
And then Steve Stroud.
Steve Stroud's there.
He popped followed up by Stacy Hurd.
Okay, I'm going to unmute Steve Stroud.
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, Steve.
My name is Steve Stroud. I live at 10587 Fox Road, which is about a mile out of Leavenworth. I've lived and worked in Chelan County for 40 years, and I've lived up Fox Road for over 20 years. At last count, over 25% of the homes in my neighborhood are now short-term rentals. We're zoned residential rural 2.5, but the vast majority of properties are less than 1 acre. As been stated earlier, short-term rental commercial use is incompatible with residential use. And when I moved here, I had every right to have the expectation that the county would protect my residential rural neighborhood. There's just one small aspect that I'd like you to consider in the regulation of short-term rentals, which should be strong and enforced. And that is to connect the total number of bedrooms in the house, both where the owner lives and they rent out, tied directly to the permit of the septic system. So if it's a 3-bedroom septic system, the total number of bedrooms in that house should be 3 bedrooms. That would include where the owner lives plus 2 others. Many of my neighbors have 3-bedroom houses and they're renting 4, 5 rooms. It's a clear violation of any code. So my request is to, in the regulations, strong linking of the bedrooms to the septic permits. That's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Steve. Stacy Hurd, followed by Tom Howard.
I'm muting Stacy.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Stacy Hurd. My husband and I work, vote, and live here in full time in Plain on 16975 River Road. In the last few years, we've gone from one STR that was occasionally rented out by a neighboring B&B, on-premise B&B, to three STRs from absent owners. And those are fully rented out pretty much nonstop all summer. In the last couple of years, we've had to call RiverCom on all properties, especially this summer, and not uncommon to hear neighbors partying until 1 a.m. on a Monday night. Imagine having a new neighbor at least two times a week, times three houses. Many of these people just do not care about being courteous because they will be moving on and there's no repercussions to bad behavior for the renters or the STR owners. We've tried to work with the owners and operators, various levels of success. I think the core issue is STRs simply do not fit in residential neighborhoods. Typically, these are people who are not familiar with the general ecosystem, fire safety. They cause excessive noise, garbage overflow, trespassing, and ultimately decrease affordability to those that wish to live and work here full time, like me and my husband. So my simple ask to this commissioners is just please strengthen the proposed regulations. Do not allow grandfathering and really help us protect our investment in this community. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Stacy. Tom Howard, followed by Ray Dobbs.
One thing, process piece, I'm unmuting Tom, but before he starts, I'm not starting his time yet. I'm going to go ahead and unmute the person that's next in line that you've called, if there is one available, just so that it speeds up the transition between each one. I just ask that that second person that's now been unmuted wait until the other person's done and we call them up.
Okay, Tom.
Tom's being unmuted.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Tom Howard. My address is 120 Lakeview Lane in Manson. My wife and I bought our property in 2006, and we're planning on building a house there, actually starting about a month ago. Unfortunately, we had to put it on hold because of this STR issue, although it is not permitted. We have a permit. It is not permitted for an STR, but at some point in time down the road, we may like to use it as an STR. We're not sure yet if that's what we're going to do. I've been following this very closely and have been on all of the three commissioner working sessions. What I haven't seen is any tangible data on statistics. All I've heard is a lot of talk about increased police activity, parking issues, septic tank system overload, noise ordinance nuisances, all of which are covered under current RCWs, and likewise, I have not seen the commission produce any tangible hard data on this issue. Again, all I hear is talk. Also, have not heard any impact, positive or negative, on limiting STRs. My only guess is that limiting an STR, especially in a city like Manson, will have a drastic negative environmental or economic impact to the community, whether it be bars, wineries, restaurants, companies that rent recreational equipment. I would ask the commission to really think hard about this for cities like Manson. And that's pretty much what I'd like folks to think about. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Tom.
I've gone down the list looking for the names, and we're clear down to Jeff Barty is the on 23, line 23 is the one I've got. So I'm going to find Jeff again and unmute him.
So it'd be Jeff Barty followed by Carissa Reed.
Yeah, hi, Jeff Barty here. So my name is Jeff Barty. And just to confirm, you can all hear me, right?
Yes, and we received your email as well, Jeff.
Okay, well, I'll just skim the email just in case for everyone here. My name is Jeff Barty, and I have a house at 75 Kamiai Place in Manson. We're zoned RW. My wife and I grew up in Washington, and we have spent many summers and winters in Chelan. And as our children grew, we took them hiking and biking and swimming in eastern Washington. In fact, my roots run deep, as my mom's family grew up in Sunnyside, Quincy, and Wenatchee. Our dream is to retire in Chelan, and 6 years ago, we took the leap and bought land. Working with Mike Para out of Quality Construction in Manson, we built our forever home. During the design, we decided we wanted room for family to visit on birthdays and holidays. And the only way to afford this additional expense was to rent our house when we were not there. We specifically checked with the city, and we were told it was perfectly acceptable for us to short-term rent our house. So using this assumption, we increased the size of our loan and built our house. I'm saddened by the generalization that we don't care or we're not part of the community. Several months ago, our names and phone numbers were shared with an anti-STR Facebook group illegally, and we started getting hate texts telling us that we weren't welcome. They were hateful, selfish, and cowards, and Chelan was for locals only. Actual threats were needed that we needed to watch out. This really hurt, as we feel we're part of the community. In fact, I was president of our HOA and was part of the group that got our neighborhood on LCR water lines rather than a lake pump because it was more environmentally efficient. We're good friends with all our neighbors, and we have them on speed dial if there's anything wrong. We provide renters of very strict guidelines, monitor our cameras, and reach out to each guest individually to proactively reinforce rules. As a good neighbor, I'm actively in favor of limits on guests, rules, permits, and enforcements. If I have to pay fees to Manson and Chelan's resources to manage STRs, it's a good idea. What I don't agree is sunsetting. Our home was built under a set of assumptions, and if you change them and we can't afford our retirement plan, we might be forced to sell at a loss. We would experience significant possible financial damage, and we would have no choice but to fight this concept. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Carissa Reed, followed by Brenda Carlson.
Carissa's not showing up on the list. Brenda is on here, so I got to pull her up.
Followed by Will Hansen.
Brenda, you're unmuted. Trying again. Brenda, I'm asking you to unmute. You need to click on your end to unmute. We're gonna have to move on. Who's next here?
Will Henson, followed by Kendall Newell.
Do not have a Will Henson. Kendall. Newell, yes. Ask Kendall to unmute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Kendall Newell, and my address is 3816 Viewmont Drive, Wenatchee. We've been residents of Chelan County for 20 years, and our family has lived in Leavenworth area since 1895. In the early 1960s, the city of Leavenworth was dying. The timber industry was failing as a result of the railroad rerouting. It was destined to be a ghost town. Thankfully, wise and innovative city planners had a vision: invite the world to a picturesque Bavarian village nestled in an Alp-like mountain. Their vision became a reality, and today Leavenworth boasts over 1 million yearly visitors and a robust economy centered around tourism. Today, a small group of vocal residents are working to reverse this legacy of hospitality. It appears they have convinced the county planners to limit the number of guests to 10 people. This eliminates the possibility of family reunions, church retreats, and business retreats in Chelan County. You would be forced to stay in a corporate hotel. Limiting capacity is not their only ambition. The regulations they wish to add will force many vacation rentals out of business. Less competition for hotels will drive up their rates, making a Leavenworth vacation unaffordable for many families. The number of visitors of Leavenworth will diminish, ultimately hurting the local economy and small family businesses that rely on tourism. Continuing in the spirit of hospitality and tourism in this valley, my husband and I built a vacation rental and we call it the Leavenworth Lodge. We met with the county before we built it and were given permission to build and run it as a vacation rental. We would be forced to sell at a loss if you change these rules. Thank you.
Thank you, Kendall. Joni Fisher.
Hi, my name is...
Followed by Kim Kurtzen. Go ahead, Joni. And we got your email as well, Joni.
Great, thank you. My name's Joni Fisher. I live at 117, or I own a home at 117 Wells Avenue in Manson. I live there 6 months out of the year and rent it out 6 months out of the year. I won't go into the detail of all my email, but I did have a couple of things I wanted to talk about. We've seen a lot of statistics on the number of STRs all mapped out. I'd like to see some statistics on the complaint mapped out on that same map, because I feel like we're putting a huge bunch of regulations in to take care of one area that seems to have the vocal minority that are upset with these STRs. The other thing I'd like to see is the nuisance complaints also laid over on that map. I'm also wondering about economic impact. Has anybody done any actual studies on the impact to lodging taxes and sales taxes, the loss of jobs in these areas, to cleaning people, maintenance resources, pool cleaning, landscape, contractors, local businesses? I haven't seen any statistics on that. I am not for sunsetting or revoking permits on sales. We went to the county and got permits when we remodeled our home. We specifically told them it was an STR, and they would not permit certain things that we wanted to do because it was an STR. So I have a hard time going with the "we're criminals and we've done this criminally." Yeah. We are good neighbors. We have good friends that we live next door to. We're not bad people. We do want to be part of the community. So I do take exception to those kind of comments about us. You know, so that's really what I have to say. And I have the rest of my comments are in my email.
Thank you, Joni. Appreciate that.
Leslie Young Cutler is next up. The other ones in between weren't present.
Okay. Leslie, followed by Franklin French.
Hi, Leslie Cutler, 82 Eagle Place, Leavenworth. We're STR owners who owned our home for 20 years, built as a retirement home, but due to financial challenges, we started renting it out 5 years ago so we wouldn't lose it. Our financial situation has been further impacted by COVID-19, so the proposed codes the commission is planning would financially crippling to us. I think as Joni just mentioned, you know, we want to be part of the community too, but the commission wants to unfairly apply the strictest codes to all STRs without consideration for those of us who have verifiable history and responsibly operating STR. We have no complaints, our neighbors have given their full support, and we're not opposed to some regulations to protect the town and the neighborhood that we also love and cherish, but we don't all have the issues with noise, parking, trash, et cetera, that the commission and the members have run are citing. There's an intense bias against all absentee owners, and that's fundamentally unfair. We communicate with our neighbors. We've hired a property management company and a neighbor as our on-site contact. He does a wonderful job, is grateful for the extra income. The immediate solution is to enforce the regulations that already exist, which would eliminate 99% of the problems. For those who don't comply, deal with those properties individually. Don't prejudge all absentee owners and punish all of us for the poor management of a few. And as Joni mentioned, appallingly, there have been no studies whatsoever on the economic impact these regulations would have to local businesses who thrive on tourism generated by STRs, nor to the impact on locals who earn their living providing services to STRs. They will all suffer greatly from the proposed regulations. Also, the STR bookings are subject to a 3% lodging tax, which goes directly to the city of Leavenworth. It's inexcusable the commission would impose these regulations when they don't understand the financial impact to businesses, local residents who work for STRs, and the loss of city and county tax revenue. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie.
Next up is Zelda Holgate.
Zelda, followed by Meredith Clark.
Hi, Isolde. In Plain. I've been a resident here for 25 years and a property manager for the last 9 years of a business that has been a vacation rental properties for since 1989. I wanted to quote from an email that was sent from Commissioner Doug England to a local community member dated July 30th, 2012. First of all, it is not true that all vacation rentals outside of the Manson UGA are operating illegally. Because of the uniqueness of the Manson UGA, there are some regulations specific to it. While I am checking other avenues that would allow you to proceed, please check your notes to see who in community development incorrectly indicated that vacation rentals were illegal throughout the county so I can correct them. You are correct in indicating that our desire is not to stop vacation rentals, but only to help them be good neighbors and blend into their neighborhoods. The current code is a biased code that is based on a vision statement that was a direct result of improper policy for the Open Public Meetings Act. I ask you to look at grandfathering all existing SDRs. No permits. Let's do the responsible party form. Let's enforce the codes on the books. And let's make Leavenworth, Chelan, and all of Chelan County great for tourism. Thank you.
Thank you, Zelda. Meredith Clark, followed by Steve Weiser.
Meredith and Steve are not here. I'm still working down the list to find the next in line.
Gail McDonoghue, Robert Webb. Matt Wilkes.
Just a minute. I'm kind of multitasking here. Matt is where I am. Matt Wilkes is here. I'm going to unmute Matt.
So Matt followed by Bob Fallon.
And I know Bob's here.
Okay. Good evening. Thank you for the time. I have basically three comments on the proposed codes. First of all, I believe that the cap on the codes is definitely not a good approach and likely would not survive a legal challenge, primarily because there in Chelan County Code 1198, there is a limitation that you can place on all participants or all people in Chelan County. However, removing that with certain select people through either the cap or the lottery system will not likely survive a legal challenge. The second point is I have not seen any material that exists yet that on the Chelan County website or anywhere that substantiates what the problem is that you are trying to solve, either through sheriff's data or law enforcement data, talking about complaints or statistics that highlight how short-term rentals are disproportionately providing a number of complaints to permanent residents. And that is definitely a requirement to provide some information, because otherwise what you have is a solution looking for a problem. The last point that I would like to make is that there also is no material that exists that talks about the economic impacts to these proposed codes and regulations to the residents and economics of Chelan County. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
Bob Fallon.
Fallon, followed by Lauren Johnson. And Bob, we did receive your email as well as your literature that you highlighted.
Okay. Thank you very much. This is Bob Fallon. I live at 12275 Village View Drive in the urban growth area of Leavenworth. We've been residents here for 10 years. There's a widespread feeling that parts of Chelan County have problems with STRs. The concerns are neighborhoods and quality of life in neighborhoods, residential housing availability, and the cost of housing. Nuisances are foisted on neighbors by some STRs. What really is at issue is zoning, the separation of incompatible uses. Single-family homes in residential areas are residents of full-time or perhaps part-time residents. The residents in these homes are neighbors for each other. Whole house short-term rentals are businesses, not neighbors. Businesses do not belong in residential zones. Their guests are not neighbors. Current Chelan County zoning allows very limited business use of properties in residential zones, and whole house short-term rentals are not among those allowed businesses. Short-term rental owners argue that they are vital cogs in the economy of Chelan County, and nobody doubts that. By that claim, however, they admit they are businesses, and again, businesses do not belong in residential zones. Chelan County has been derelict in its duty to enforce its current zoning code. That has allowed short-term rentals to become established. Now that they exist, short-term rentals claims that enforcing the code is a takings. Zoning is not a taking of property. It is a well-accepted limitation of the use of property. I would argue I am not against tourism or a healthy economy. I am not against short-term rentals in appropriate locations or zones. Please retain the current zoning code and please enforce the current code. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Lauren Johnson, followed by Steve Williams.
The next one up that I've unmuted is Groh Brewer.
Groh Brewer, followed by Jenny Burgess.
Go ahead, Groh. Groh, you're unmuted, but we're seeing no activity on your microphone. Are you muted on your end?
They can hear you briefly.
Are you there, Groh? We're gonna have to move on if we can't get you.
Oh, okay, yeah, dark guy.
There he is.
I have no idea where she is, but.
Groh?
Groh. I'm gonna have to cut his mic, move on. Okay, let me get the next one.
Jenny Burgess, followed by Annie Robertson.
No, Jenny. Annie Robertson, I'm unmuting.
Followed by Leanne Beatty.
You're unmuted, Annie.
Good evening. Thank you for this opportunity to provide these comments. My name's Annie Robertson, and I'm an attorney representing the North Central Washington Association of Realtors, which is the voice of real estate in North Central Washington. We advocate for private property rights and professional real estate transactions. We submit these comments with the support of the Northwest MLS and the Washington Association of Realtors. First, we'd like to comment on the moratorium, which goes into effect for a six-month period that started on August 25th. Please understand that this moratorium is going to have a substantial impact on real estate purchase and sell transactions occurring during this six-month window. Some transactions are going to be canceled or rescinded altogether. These cancellations are going to have a significant financial impact on our constituents who work extensively to put these transactions together and are paid only if and when the transaction closes. In addition, construction and renovation companies, lenders, title and escrow professionals, appraisal professionals, photographers, and others that provide services in support of real estate transactions are going to have an adverse financial impact while we enter a recession and have record high unemployment. For these reasons, we ask that you consider whether that moratorium is really necessary and if it's possible to rescind it or narrow the scope of it. With respect to the proposed regulations, we support regulations of short-term rentals while also supporting private property rights, including the right to use, possess, rent, and convey property. Specifically, we support the following aspects of the proposed regulations: that nightly rental operators be required to obtain a permit specific to their operations, that they be required to have a local point of contact available to respond to complaints, nuisances, and other issues within 60 minutes, and that repeated substantiated complaints would result in fines, suspensions, and ultimately the forfeiture of nightly rental operating rights, provided that due process and appeals procedure are followed. From our perspective, these items are going to preserve neighborly relations while providing homeowners with a means to combat nuisances. We also support operating rules and requirements, such as parking requirements, occupancy restrictions on the number of guests in a bedroom, noise restrictions, rental rules. We do not support any regulations that would permanently...
Thank you, Annie. Leanne Beatty, followed by George Spear.
All not here, down to Jim Beard. I've got Jim Beard and I've been trying to unmute him, but.
Jim and Denise Beard.
Just a second, going back to him. He's unmuted, go ahead.
Followed by Laura Johnson.
Yeah, this is Jim Beard. I hadn't planned on speaking tonight.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Laura Johnson, followed by Don McKenzie.
Okay, momentarily here. Laura is here. I saw her earlier on the list of names, so I'm going to pull her up. I'm muting Laura.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Laura.
Hi, I'm Laura Johnson. I have a house at 16840 Fir Drive in the Lake Wenatchee area. I've owned this home since 2007. I turned it into a short-term rental to offset my costs when the economy got bad around, I think it was 2012, I started renting. I've had no complaints from my neighbors. I run a tight ship. I have lots of repeat guests who are motivated to be good guests because they want to come back. I provide them with a house with three bedrooms where the whole family can come. They don't have to split up to multiple hotel rooms. No one ever told me there were any problems with having a short-term rental. As far as I know, I've run a legal operation the entire time. And I'd like to keep doing that so I can afford to have my house. I'm perplexed to hear people worried about their property values going up. Seems like a good thing to me. I oppose sunset laws. I would like to keep renting to the families that really love to come back to my beautiful home every summer. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura. So we got Don McKenzie next, followed by Chris Bowen.
Don's unmuted.
And Don, we did receive your email, Don.
Thanks very much. It's a long one. This is Don McKenzie of 22612 Alpine Drive at Fish Lake. My wife, Kate, and I bought our cabin last year, and we've spent more than 70 days there with our kids since then. That's 10 full weeks. Owning a cabin was a lifelong dream for us, and this is the only vacation property we own. Although we bought our cabin primarily for our family, we do rent it out when we're not using it. And indeed, this rental income is essential to us being able to afford it. We accepted having to pay a high price when we bought because we saw that we could rent it out part-time. The existing district use chart does not and did not even mention vacation rentals, let alone prohibit them. But vacation rentals were well established in our neighborhood when we bought, with no hint coming in the public record of an outright ban. Sunsetting will force us to sell at a loss, costing us money and savings. It will force us to sell because we depend on rental income, and that sale will be at a loss because buyers will know that they too are ineligible to rent it out. 5 years does not come close to allowing this so-called recovery of an investment in an asset with a 30 plus year life financed with a 30 year loan. And long-term rentals are incompatible with our ability to continue using our cabin personally. If the county truly cares about impacts on neighbors, try this instead. Regulate, enforce, and evaluate. Make an honest attempt at imposing reasonable rules. Ban those who break the rules, but don't just ban everyone without even trying to set and enforce rules. Regulate, enforce, evaluate. Maybe the only thing worse than the sunset would be the patently unfair approach of sunsetting in some zones and not in others. There's no sound basis for treating RW, RV, and RRR differently. In the existing county code, purposes of the three zones are identical. 107 out of 116 specified uses are identical.
15 seconds.
And allowing rentals in some of these zones and not others would enrich owners in permitted zones at the expense of owners in other zones. For example, on one side of East 11.
Thank you, Don. Chris Bowen, followed by Thomas Williams.
Thomas Williams is unmuted. Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Followed by Kelly Wozinski.
Thomas is up.
Hi, everyone. This is Thomas Williams. I'm actually a new resident in Chelan County. I actually just moved into Wenatchee last week. And this is where my wife and I decided to put our retirement years, and we're looking forward to be integrated closely with the community. As I listened to the comments tonight, I feel like that not all the properties across Chenan County are likely created equal. There are others, some in dense locations and some in undense locations. And to apply any regulations as a big swath across the county may be a mistake because it's treating some places unfairly. We would like to explore the possibilities of also opening an STR on our property next door that we will be the neighbors of. So we encourage any kind of regulations that keep things in check, ensure that septic systems are not overrun, because we would be a neighbor ourselves of such property. But as others have mentioned, it's primarily for use of family and personal usage, but being allowed to rent out on a part-time basis is huge. Huge bonus to the income as we try to continue to integrate with the community and employ all the services that help make it a great tourist area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. Kelly Woznick, followed by the Newell family.
Are you still doing one person per household on that?
Yeah.
I'm looking for Nathan. I know he was in here. I saw him earlier. Kelly wasn't here, so I'm looking for Nathan. I've got Nathan, and I'm unmuting him.
I'll be followed by Robert Mundy.
Nathan, can you unmute yourself? Nathan, I'm clicking unmute for you. Let's see if we've got Farrah Newell, next one from the same household, since Nathan isn't. Farrah's here, but I don't have audio for her.
Can you hear us?
Nathan's unmuted. Okay. Go ahead, gonna start your time.
Okay, this is Farrah. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you, okay. Farrah.
Good evening, my name is Farrah Newell, 8885 Stage Road, Leavenworth, Washington. My parents own the Leavenworth Lodge, a spacious vacation rental that will go out of business if you vote for these draconian restrictions. When an injustice is done to you, what do? You stand up, and that is what we have to do now. We have to stand up because if we don't, everything we hold on to and call our own will be destroyed. For years, I've watched my dad put his all into this business. From the beginning, he's aspired to do everything right. As a kid, I watched him as he told the county exactly what he planned to do. And I watched as the county gave him the full go-ahead to bring his vision to reality. I've learned so much from his hard work, his incredible customer service, and his devotion to our neighbors. As I said before, these restrictions would paralyze our business and wipe out our dream. First of all, our lodge is almost 6,000 square feet and comfortably accommodates large groups. One of these restrictions proposed is a cap of 14 people per vacation rental, since any group larger than 14 is considered a party. This isn't always the case. Each time my dad talks with a guest, I hear him say the following. We ask every guest to be respectful to our neighbors. We are not a party house. We do not allow kegs or amplified music on the property. We do not allow street parking. Quiet hours start at 10 and there's no trespassing on neighbors' property. These statements are also in our rental agreement, which each guest signs before their stay. Many times I've heard him turn down guests that seek a party house. Our lodge has had few problems with guests. If there were any, my dad would leave our house immediately to solve the issue. We have a good relationship with our neighbors and have had no complaints. To cap a 6,000 square foot lodge at 14 people is an illogical action. It is not right to punish a business with a perfect record. Stand up with us as we stand up to the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Farrah. Robert Mundy, followed by Ryan Harmigan.
Robert's unmuted.
Hello, this is Robert. Can you hear me?
Yes, Robert, and we did receive your email as well.
Thank you. We have a cabin. It's in Stetson Road in Ponderosa. We bought it in 2015. We do spend some time there. We rent it part-time. We stay in close contact with the neighbors. Never had any complaints. We screened all the applicants who are coming in. We have off-road parking. The area we're in is primarily a second home community. It's not a residential. Some people do live there full-time, but it's by far more people are second homes. Changing the code will not change our use. We will not long-term rent it. We would either sell it or just use it for personal use. I'm against any kind of sunsetting. I think it's against the property rules. That's all I got.
Thank you, Robert. Ryan Harmigan, followed by Sarah Fox.
Okay, Ryan is not here. Sarah, I asked to unmute. I'm going to ask again.
Sarah, followed by Chris Moody.
Sarah, you need to respond to the unmute. Sarah, you should see a dialog box asking you to unmute yourself. There you go.
Hi, I wasn't planning on speaking tonight.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Sarah. Chris Moody, followed by Kim Fishbar.
Okay, just a second. I've got Chris Moody unmuting now.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, we've been in the area for about a year, and it was a dream of ours to purchase a cabin out there. And
From you, Chris?
Sir. 1733 Chumpstick Highway.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we bought some land out there and we were just about to put some other property, a tiny home, bring a, you know, some other things out there, and this sudden moratorium kind of felt like a slap in the face. We have some improvements that we're trying to make under the current information that we're given. We feel like there's a safety issue for being able to make improvements to our property. And I really want to urge you to please be reasonable and reverse that as soon as possible, because you're probably going to get a lot of people just going around the rules, which is less safe, less tax revenue for the county. And also, you know, just want to say that we're good, honest people who work with our guests and hold them to high standards when we do have renters that come out and stay there. And we really hope that we'll be able to stay in Leavenworth and keep our dream property out there. So thanks for your time.
Thank you, Chris. Kim Fishbauer, followed by Jeff Jansen.
No, Kim, I'm working on Jeff right now. I have Jeff, and I'm unmuting Jeff.
Jeff will be followed by Doug Klunder. And Jeff, we did receive your email as well.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Jeff Jansen. I reside at 9840 East Leavenworth Road. I oppose absentee owner rentals inside residential areas. I do support tier one operation. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can Chris Moody mute his and have my time back, please?
Yeah. Yes. Go ahead, Jeff.
And I'm going to give you your time back, Jeff, just a second. We're going to start over. We're starting over, Jeff. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Jeff Jansen, and I reside at 9840 East Leavenworth Road, and am a 30-year resident of Chelan County. I oppose absentee owner rentals in residential areas. I do support tier one operations if it's the owner's primary residence and they will be on site through the guest stay. No absentee days. This cannot be enforced. Absentee owner rentals are not compatible in residential zones. Please protect neighborhoods from commercial business operations that are fundamentally incompatible in a residential setting. Sunsetting non-conforming STRs within 2 years and do not allow transfer of STR permits. 5 years is far too long. If this process is to be taken seriously, start by enforcing the code in the Leavenworth UGAs the county adopted the Leavenworth Municipal Code in the UGAs, and still numerous illegal STRs are in operation with no actions being taken against them. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Jeff. Doug Klunder, followed by Caitlin Husson.
Hi, I'm Doug Klunder. I live at 102 Viewcrest Road in Bellingham, and I own a cabin at 12344 Brett's Road near Plain. And I am, we use that as a short-term rental along with personal use. And that is all the cabin is good for. I strongly urge you to allow it to be grandfathered without a sunset on it. This cabin was constructed as a short-term rental, has been used as a short-term rental for 20 years, and I would not be able to sell it to somebody who did not want it short-term. It has no closets. It has an open loft area. It is fabulous for a vacation getaway, but no one would live there. If we are not able to use it as a short-term rental, you are going to have an empty house. We are going to have lost a ton of money. No one will be able to buy it. And so I strongly urge you to grandfather existing short-term rentals. I suspect that our cabin is one of many that are in that situation that are not suitable as long-term homes. And that's really all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Caitlin Husson, followed by Tiffany Gehring.
Caitlin's not here, and I've asked Tiffany to unmute, although I'm not sure she wants to testify. She may just be observing. Tiffany, can you unmute and tell us whether you want to testify or not?
I'm not testifying. Thank you.
Thank you, Tiffany, for joining us this evening. R.C. Crown Orchards, or Cowan Orchards, followed by Sean Lynn.
Unmuting R.C. Asking R.C. to unmute. RC, can you unmute, please? You should have a dialog box showing to you that says unmute.
Great. I'm not going to testify. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us. Sean Lynn, followed by Megan Bond.
Okay. Second, I got to do another search here. Unmuting Sean Lynn.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Sean Lynn. I live at 217 Cascade Street, and I've been a property manager in the Leavenworth area of vacation rentals for almost 9 years now. Thank you, Commissioner Kelso, and all of you that work so hard on this body. I've been involved with this and watching every step of it, and you all work so hard, and I appreciate that. And the new director, I think, is doing a wonderful job. I'd like to just take one moment to speak for who is not testifying. And that would be the people that live next to STRs that I know that aren't here complaining about STRs. It's really hard to get somebody that's not impacted by an STR in to testify or write an email or do anything along the lines that lets you people know that there's thousands of people out there that live next to STRs and they live in perfect harmony. I've worked with probably 200 vacation rental owners and I've never met one that wants to see their house beat up by partiers. I've never met one that wants to see the neighborhood destroyed. The second thing that I would like to talk about is the procedural process of how this has all come about. In the beginning, and even since 2018, I've asked for the stakeholders to be involved. We missed out on that in the beginning. Please take this back to the drawing board, everybody. Involve the stakeholders and avoid the long legal issues that we are about to tackle. It's going to be a long run, everybody. I'd rather see this go back now. Involve stakeholders, please. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you, Sean. Megan Bond, followed by Linda Surratt.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you, Megan.
Thank you.
I have, for the last 10 years, lived 50 to 75% of the time at 2213 Riffle Drive. This is in the Chihuahua. And without exception, we have been surrounded by short-term nightly rentals, and we have had zero issues, no issues whatsoever. And I would like to attest to that as a homeowner, that it's just not been a problem. As of last month, we made the decision to give this a try ourselves in order to supplement our retirement income. We're just 6 weeks into it. So far, so good. We are absolutely opposed to, you know, having anything as a, excuse me, party house. I think that I've never seen a quote unquote party house in the Chihuahua. And I just have, once again, had no problems whatsoever for the past 10 years, since February 2010. So I would like to just put that out there that most of these short-term rentals that we are surrounded with have had zero impact on our life. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Linda Surratt, followed by Joseph Chacon.
I do not plan on speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, for joining us.
Before we proceed, Mr. Kelso, I just wanted you to be aware, because of the inordinate number compared to the last hearing on this, that have decided not to, they're either not here or have declined. I'm going to run off the list, I think, before we run out of time. So I'm suggesting to you to be thinking about the possibility of taking a recess or taking a pause on testimony to cover other items on your agenda while I go to my office and print and send you a continued list for some that certainly registered after the time I gave you the list this afternoon. How would you like to proceed on that?
Why don't we just move forward so that those that are with us, if they choose to drop off, can drop off after we've gone past their name?
Okay, I just wanted to give you the option and be aware that, as you can see in front of you, we're getting closer to the end of the list that we have, but I'm sure that more registered after I printed this.
Okay.
All right, we'll continue. So the next one up is, I'll look for Joseph.
Or is there, or Lynn, we just had Linda?
We had Linda decline.
Okay, decline. So Joseph?
No Joseph. Danae?
Danae Poss.
Unmuting Danae.
Followed by Heron Savanto. Savastano.
And I'll see if I can find him. Go ahead, Danae. I'll start your time.
Hi, thank you. My husband and I purchased our first cabin in the Ponderosa about 7 years ago and have enjoyed tons of time out there, both just on our own with our friends and family, and then also rented it kind of part-time. And we recently made a much bigger investment and purchased something bigger with the intent of being able to continue to hold our growing family, as well as, you know, make more money off of the rental side of things. We screen every candidate or every single people that come through. I turn down probably more people than I accept. We have the neighbor kids do our yard and we pay them. We are probably there 50% of the time versus the rentals, and we just try to be part of the community, but it would be very detrimental to us if we wouldn't be able to continue to rent that, and would probably have to sell, and it would be a bummer, as we just made this investment very recently. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Danae. Hernan, followed by Angela Lechich.
Yes, hi. My name is Hernan Savastano. My wife Angela and I currently live on 87 Icicle Road in Leavenworth. 3 years ago, we bought a luxury lodge in the Icicle area. Our property was designed to host large family gatherings and retreats. It was built with a huge septic capacity that can comfortably accommodate groups of up to 20 people, on 2.4 acres of land, unfortunately, and with plenty of off-street parking and everything needed to operate safely. We are just one of a handful of large luxury lodges like ours, which explicitly listed nightly rental use in our building and septic applications to the county. And guess what? The county approved our permits. Based on this explicit approval, we rightly assumed that we could operate legally and continue to invest our life savings in these properties, which are by and large not well suited to long-term residence for a small family because of the way they were designed and built. So our investments would be devastated by your sunset or of a sunset clause on transfer sale. You can't fairly retroactively render us illegal and take our livelihoods and our long-term investments just like that. STRAC has submitted plenty of legal evidence that the county has a long history of allowing STR use as residential use without permits, no different from long-term rentals. In the new regulations, the arbitrary occupancy limit of 12 seems arbitrary and would cripple our budgets, and your five-year sunsets would render us our business illegal and effectively kill our retirement plans. We've been responsible neighbors. We have great relationships with our neighbors and have never received nuisance complaints. It is simply unfair to punish all owners for the behavior of just a few. At the very least, we urge you to permanently grandfather in without new.
Thank you, Hernan. Angela.
St. Angela's the same household. Daniel's next up, and I've asked him to unmute. I'm going to ask him again.
Daniel Miller, followed by Colton Riblett.
Daniel, you need to unmute on your end. Daniel, I'm allowing you to unmute. Going once. Going twice. One more try to unmute. Okay, we're going to have to move on.
Okay, Colton Riblett, followed by Kate Surzik. Surik?
I'm asking Colton to unmute, and he's unmuted.
Hi, my name is Colton Riblett. I live in East Wenatchee, but I do practice as a realtor in Chelan County. And I just would like to state that the people that I do work with on a day-to-day basis, whether it be colleagues or clients, have expressed great concern over the changes, the moratorium, as well as the plan for future changes. And it will greatly affect ones in our community as well as ones that plan to move here in the future. And that's all I had.
Thank you, Colton. Kate Zierich, followed by Kelly Keene. Your client.
Kate Zierich.
Yeah. Hi, Kate.
Hi. So I have a cabin at 136 Holiday Lane, Fish Lake. I'm a lifelong Washington resident, as were my parents and grandparents back into the 1800s. I first went to Lake Wenatchee to my Uncle Dutch's cabin in 1955. So I kind of consider the whole area my growing up place. I respectfully request that some level of grandfathering or other temporary accommodation be made for short-term rentals. We purchased our real estate and built on our own a small cabin on 1 acre over a 12-month period up against the Wenatchee National Forest. We are in a small rural neighborhood with multiple existing homes which are operating as short-term rentals. Our neighborhood was designed for recreational use. There are a few full-time residents there. All of the neighborhood is friendly and supportive of one another and accepting of short-term rentals. Our cabin sleeps only 6 people, and third-party rentals there are sporadic. We're extremely careful of who we accept. We're extremely cautious of our water usage, protecting our well, protecting our septic system. We also value and protect the peacefulness of our neighborhood. Our family uses our cabin very regularly. It's our cabin in the mountains where we can get away and play together. I'm an attorney. I need to work where there is a demand for my services, so I can't live at Fish Lake, much as I would love to. We will appreciate at least an opportunity to protect our investment in our cabin. Thank you very much. And just as a PS, I want to say that Plain Hardware might suffer if I leave because I shop there regularly.
Thank you, Kate. Kelly Klein, followed by Pamela Cook.
Hi, I'm Kelly Klein with North Central Washington Association of Realtors, but I am just observing the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Pamela Cook, followed by Patrick Davidson.
Just a second, Mr. Chair. Looking for Pamela. No Pamela. Patrick Davidson.
Patrick Davidson, followed by Jeanette McCaig.
There's no Patrick Davidson. Going to Jeanette.
Jeanette, followed by Brian Campbell.
Just a second. Yeah. Brian Campbell, this is the next. The other ones weren't here. Brian is here asking to unmute.
Followed by Mark Babcock.
Brian's unmuted.
I wasn't planning on speaking. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Brian. Mark Babcock, followed by Nicholas Moshon.
To look for Mark. No Mark.
Nicholas, followed by Lay Warren.
Nicholas, I am unmuting you. Good to go. Nicholas, you can go ahead and speak. Nicholas, you're unmuted. Nicholas, we're not getting any audio from you. Nicholas, you wish to testify. You're muted again. I'm going to ask you to unmute. Just tell us if you don't want to, when you're unmuted, tell us you don't want to testify if you don't. You're unmuted again. I see your microphone. We're going to have to move on, Mr. Chair.
Lay Warren, followed by Joel Walensky.
Okay. Lay Warren is being unmuted.
Hello there. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak. I will go ahead and submit my letter online. Thank you.
Thank you, Lay. Joel Warren, or Joel Walensky, followed by Mary Pat Barton.
Joel's your commissioner.
Yeah, Joel's here. Just a second.
He's your commissioner.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Joel, you weren't planning on testifying, right? You were just signing up.
I was not planning on testimony. And Ryan, you're doing a marvelous job. Thank you, Joel. Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. Well, I mean, that was an 11th hour appointment. So, you know, catching up with the system.
Mary Pat Barton, followed by Eddie N.
Okay, I am unmuting Mary Pat.
Okay.
Do it again.
Okay, unmute.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, go ahead, Mary Pat.
Okay.
I am Mary Pat Barton. I live at 611 Cedar Street in Leavenworth, Washington. We've been here since 1982. I'm just going to go on the part about the, a lot of the business owners of these short-term rental properties knew they purchased in residential zones, not in the available purchased commercial zones that were available. Many have not gotten their unified business identification number, the UBI number. So when I went on to the Department of Revenue, the first thing you're supposed to do is get a UBI number, and you're supposed to go to your city and get a city business number, and you're supposed to go to your county assessor, and it says businesses are to report as your business opens. Residential houses were not supposed to give you a business commercial profit. I feel bad for a lot of people that came in and thought we had our head in the sand and didn't realize what was happening because we were hit so hard. I feel bad that they thought that they could just come in and take over our small communities and our residential properties. A lot of the people go on and say they have contract, they have all these support staff to take care of all these businesses, but these worker bees do not have any employee benefits like our other hotels and community run properties. So my concern is that there is a problem. There has been a problem for a long time. It has to be, your guys are working on it, and it just keep up the good work. And we have residential zones and we have commercial zones, and they were met so we could have families and homeowners. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Pat. Eddie N, followed by Kelly Trim.
Eddie, I'm going to double check, but I don't believe I've got Eddie. No. And then it's down to
Kelly Trim.
Kelly Trim, and Kelly is also double checking. Nope, no Kelly. And so the Steve, next one is here, though, Steve and Hildahl. That is Steve Hildahl, who I told the unmute, but I'm going to try it again.
Followed by George Wilson.
Steve Hildahl, can you unmute yourself, please? Whether you, yeah, there you go.
Was not planning to testify.
Okay, thank you.
Steve. George Wilson, followed by Monica Watson.
Okay, George. I'm muting George.
Hello.
Hello, George.
Yep. Thank you for the opportunity to speak again. Our neighborhood at Lake Wenatchee has been impacted tremendously, I think, by the rentals. And it's some of the intangibles here. You can't reduce the numbers and things. It's just looking at the, you know, the word neighbor is a big part of neighborhoods, and we're losing too many people here because of what's happening to our communities. There are people that have contributed so much to what we have up here that are leaving. They just don't want to be here anymore. They've lost their neighborhoods. They've lost their neighbors. One of our longtime firefighters here was out on a all-night fire a couple weeks ago, and he won't do that anymore because when he came out, he came home, he found that his wife was scared to death all night long by a big party and gunshots at a rental behind their home. This stuff doesn't belong in neighborhoods. And I've had any number, you know, several people comment to me that they've just lost the desire to be here, and didn't used to be that way. The people that are not wanting to be here anymore have contributed much to this community. They volunteer, they donate their money, their time. Those things go away when the character of the neighborhood changes, and I urge you to certainly give some weight to this factor. It can't be measured in statistics, but definitely be measured in what it's, you know, the detrimental effect to our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Next up, we've got Monica Watson, followed by Carl Halpuka. And hey, Jim,
yes, sir.
Are you able to turn the chat stuff off that's popping up on the screens?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, just a second. I got two things going on here. So you can, I believe you can turn off chat on your side.
It's popping up from different people that are on the video feed. There's different messages popping up on my screen.
I don't know what's happening here. I just got a notice. Are we still recording? We're still recording. I'm still here. On the right side, you should have a bar with all the names, and then the chat should be below it, and you should be able to close that chat box so you can't see it.
Okay. Thank you.
Because I don't believe I can turn them off from using it.
Yeah, I'm just listening now. Go ahead. You can. Thank you. Thank you.
No, you're welcome.
No, I thought it was going on right at the beginning.
I'm trying to figure out who's talking. I thought it was going on right at the beginning.
Okay, right. Next up we got Monica Watson.
Yeah, Monica Watson's not here, and I'm looking for Carl, which is what I was doing when he stopped there. Just a second. Carl, there's no Carl. So Carl's not
Maureen here. O'Day Mitchell, followed by Tim Worcester.
Going to unmute Maureen.
I've already submitted comments, but I'll just say in listening tonight, I've been a full-time resident of the Ponderosa for 10 years. My late husband and I bought this originally as a vacation property and then moved here full time. We moved into an area that did have a lot of full time or seasonal residents. It's only in the last 5 years that we've seen this explosion of short term rentals in our area that really has changed the character of the neighborhood. One of the things that I haven't heard people talk about tonight is the vacancy rate. And I've already submitted a copy of the 2018 Our Valley, Our Future study that was done. And at that time, we only had a 2% vacancy rate. Just this past month, my neighbors across the street, a young couple who both work in Plain and were paying $1,800 a month for a 1,000-square-foot cabin, their property was sold. There's no place for them. They're living at her parents in Kashmir. These are local people who need local housing. It's not out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Tim Worcester, followed by Carrie Kingsley.
I'm looking for Tim. Okay, Tim, I'm thinking that might be Worcester, asking to unmute, and you're good to go.
Tim Worcester, I was not planning to speak today.
Thank you, Tim. Carrie Kingsley, followed by Rachel Goetz.
Looking for Carrie. No Carrie.
Rachel Goetz, followed by Kathy Blum.
Okay, Rachel Goetz. Unmuting Rachel Goetz.
Hi, I wasn't planning on speaking tonight, but I'm here on behalf of North Central Washington Realtors Association.
Thank you, Rachel. Okay. Kathy Blum.
Just a second, I'm gonna find Kathy. Got Kathy Blum, unmuting Kathy.
Good evening, I'm Kathy Blum and I live in the Manson community, 15 Helios Hills Lane in Manson. I've been an 11-year member of the Manson Community Council, and I'm on tonight to listen on behalf of the council. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. So, Jim, you want to take a moment? We'll take a short break. You want to run and grab whatever names you came up with?
It's going to take me about 5 minutes, probably. I might. Yeah, it's going to take me about 5 minutes. The question is whether I can do it logged in on two different for the same login, but I will try.
Vicky's trying to comment.
Okay, I'll unmute you, Vicky. Because you also have other agenda items you need to cover before the 9 o'clock close. Asking you to unmute, Vicky.
How about that?
Yep. Go ahead.
Am I there?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to comment. I hope you will, from this point forward, turn off all the written comments that are coming through. It's almost like people are being allowed to comment further and have their statements made in front of all of us when they already had a chance to testify.
Yeah, I cannot turn them off for that, but you can turn off your seeing them by just closing your chat dialog box. You should have the list of participants when you pull that up, and then there'll be a chat box underneath it, and you can close the chat box so they can write whatever they write and you don't have to see it.
Okay.
That's what we have. All I have is a list of the 114 participants listed in alphabetical order, and then I have a search bar where I type in the first few letters of their name looking for them when it's their turn. And then it pulls up all of them that are close and just telling people how the process works. I could see the chat box if I clicked it. It would pop that chat box up underneath those names. I just have it closed.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, you do have other agenda items on the agenda that you can choose to go through. And I'm going to unmute Carl here. You could go through the other agenda items. I'm thinking that's what Carl was suggesting.
Yeah, you're right. I would like to proceed. I'd like to close the hearing and continue with the agenda, please.
Can I follow up on just, I think it was Vicky's comment. I think the issue is the chat part of the public comment?
It's not considered part of the public record.
Okay.
I mean, it's a public record in that when the Zoom is printed, all that stuff's there, but we're not providing that information to you. That is not the formal written commenting.
Okay.
We have in the instructions that we're not using the chat box. So it's not helpful that people are doing that.
I would like to second closing this session and move on with the agenda items.
All those in favor?
I moved it and he seconded.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Hearing none, we will move forward with closing the hearing and moving on with the next agenda items. First would be approval of meeting minutes
should have two sets there from the July 22nd meeting and the August 20th meeting.
Yeah, so from July 22nd, 2020, if the commissioners have had opportunity to re-review those again. And if there's any changes or a motion to approve.
This is Greg. Am I still muted?
We can hear you, Greg.
Okay. There's one change that needed to be done for the July 22nd minutes. And that is at the first paragraph at the very top, where it says, Greg asked about areas of a 5-year sunset. That was actually part of the July 9th minutes. So that needs to be stricken. Somehow that got confused when we had the two, the July 9th and July 22nd minutes presented to us at the last meeting. So, and I brought that up. So, that that sentence or that paragraph at the very top needs to be stricken for the minutes for July 22nd.
Wendy got a note on that, and she's doing the minutes update, and she'll correct that.
And I do. Okay, thank you.
I do recall you bringing that up before, Greg, and I'm sorry for the oversight. We should have moved it before now.
That's okay.
So with that, we'll move to the August 26th approval of minutes. And any discussion or motions?
Barring none, I would move that we accept the minutes as presented.
I second it.
So we've got a motion to approve by Greg and a second by Carl to approve the meeting minutes from August 26th. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Approved minutes for August 26th, 2020.
We'll bring back the 22nd, July 22nd minutes for further consideration when we meet at your regularly scheduled meeting at the end of the month.
Can we correct them?
Correct.
Yeah, we will correct them.
Okay. And I think we just got one other item on there. Jim, you're going to discuss about the water code?
It was simply to advise you that upon further review, though it was somewhat informative for you about the water code, the section of the Chelan County Code that the water code fits in is actually outside the purview of the Planning Commission charge under the Chelan County Code. So that water code actually goes directly to the Board of Commissioners for further consideration. It is not brought to you. So I would consider that presentation done by Mike Caputa is information only. We did not know that, had not had that review. We assumed it fell into the code in the sections that the Planning Commission is responsible for, and it isn't. It's a Title 13 section of the code is where that belongs, and that's not within the scope of your responsibility.
All right. I believe that's all of our items on the agenda tonight. Anyone in the Planning Commission have any other items to bring up?
Yeah, this is Carl. I think we were going to decide now on our next
course of pathway.
The short-term vacation rental code.
Okay, discussion.
I think we probably should digest this. That's just my opinion. Should digest this and bring it up at our next regularly scheduled meeting for discussion and decision, if we can make one at that time.
May I add a point of clarification, Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Jim.
So within your packet was the revised code, essentially as you had it from Lisa Greeter, at the end of your July 9th meeting. And we struck the language from that document that made reference to the vision statement. So that text, that's the first few informational pages in that section of the packet, but Lisa always had the kind of the explanation pages before it dives into the code. That's where the vision statement formally lied. And so the remand is to review the code as if you did not have that vision statement in consideration. And so among your decisions to make would be, would you edit the code in a different direction if you weren't considering having had that vision statement? It's the closest similarity I can give you, if you've ever been in court or watched court on TV, when witnesses say something or something is brought in that is objected to and the jury heard it, you being the jury, you're being asked to disregard that portion of the testimony in your deliberations.
But would you have the opportunity to take into consideration all the written submissions and the verbal submissions today to add to our thought process.
Absolutely. I'm just simply saying for terms, yes, you do.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I thought you were shaking your head. No.
You do. Yes.
Okay.
And the only reason I gave you that was not presupposing essentially an effective rubber stamp here. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. I'm just simply saying that the code document itself is to be viewed without the consideration of the original vision statement. What you do with regard to consideration of the oral and written testimony that you've received thus far, plus that will come in over the next 7 days once I turn on the box in the morning, will be forwarded to you, and digest all that and decide among yourselves individually what you want to do for when you reconvene on the 23rd for a discussion as to next steps.
So just as a question for me, is there going to be a period when we could basically reword parts of these resolutions without having to reset the entire process?
Yes, I mean that you don't have to reset the entire process. You could, for example, Ed, you could decide that there's some part of the code that you have an interest in seeing edited. You can't communicate with your fellow commissioners about that out of session, but you could bring it to that 23rd meeting, and that's where you would introduce that piece that you wanted the rest of the commissioners to hear from and have a discussion on it. That would be the process.
And is that 23rd meeting, I'm sorry, I guess, you know, I'm new to the game. Is that 23rd meeting only those people on the board, or is that also going to be another public meeting?
So all the board. Yeah, okay. It will not have public testimony. This is the public hearing for testimony.
Okay, great.
But again, just because and I think you already know this, but I'm just letting you know, both Joel and Ed, you can't be like behind the scenes conferring with other commissioners about what, you know, work on it individually and then bring it forward in a public setting in order to be in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act.
Okay, thank you.
So Jim, what is the actual final cutoff of all comments so that we know it's done? I mean, you know, we've received, I want to say thousands, it seems like. And so when will be the final absolute cutoff of the comments that we will receive our final packet from?
5 p.m. Wednesday, September 16th, Greg.
7 days.
Okay.
Really?
Okay.
Today at 5 p.m. So we will get that to you in a prompt fashion once we have it. And then you will have had oral testimony, you will have had written testimony, you will have had an opportunity to revisit the code. The code is on the website for the public as well as comments received thus far. And you can decide after your 23rd meeting or during your 23rd meeting what the next steps will be, whether you are able to resolve any issues that meeting or whether you need subsequent meetings to continue and have additional discussion. That will be up to you. I will do whatever I can to help facilitate that, get you whatever documents you need. If you feel that there's something that's missing in terms of documentation, let me know. I think we're doing a better job, at least this week, in getting you what you need in a more prompt fashion. And that's my goal, to do that every week from here on out.
Okay.
Agreed.
So
personally, personally, I would like to see us take a look at the code seriously, do our homework before we come back, specify certain areas that we may see that our minds have been changed on without that prelude that we had at one time, and considering all the comments. And I am hopeful that we will be able to get this code taken, looked at, and move forward. That's my hope.
You want to make a motion with that, Vicki?
No, I don't think that should be a motion. Okay. Because we won't know what's going to happen till next time. Say that we all have so many conflicting ideas, but I would like to see us try to get it taken care of next meeting.
That's great. I want to have one more question. You did say that I could not discuss this with other, or basically collaborate with other commissioners. But that doesn't include necessarily neighbors that I may have questions to, right? That doesn't necessarily invalidate me.
No.
Really, I can speak with the public. There are no parties right now. But I will basically, I can ask and talk to my neighbors about how they feel about this particular item.
Absolutely. You can talk to your constituency, the folks that you're representing in the community. It's you as a body, as members of the body, are a legislative body, and you can't have ex parte communications with each other that could be considered collaboration, deliberation, anything like that. So you have to work on it individually until you're in a public setting. And that will keep you out of the fire, so to speak.
Thank you.
So with that, we will move forward with keeping the written testimony open until the September 16th at 5 p.m. And then we'll have more information for us to be able to gather and go through. And during our next scheduled meeting on September 23rd at 7 p.m., we will go through any items that come to our attention or we may view differently at that point to reevaluate any items that we would like to address within the code as currently written, and then go through those items and then make some form of a decision to move forward or to reformat things or maybe other things as well.
So is the, can I, just a question, Brian.
Go ahead, Joel.
Is the proposed code language going to be sent out so we can take a look?
It was in our board packet, which hopefully you've received one, but
okay.
Sure, that community development.
I'm sure Jim will get me the old code packet.
Yes. Yeah, we will. We didn't know till today that you'd been appointed.
Yeah, so, I got you.
We will get you that, and in fact, I will probably do a resubmission to all of you of that again, just to make sure you have it. Not the entire packet, but I think there's something that Wendy was going to be sending out anyway. Not positive about that. I'm not trying to put her on the spot, but we will send it back out to you so that there's no doubt and it's not buried in a prior packet that you got. You can work off the copy you have right now. It's not going to change, but I still want to make sure you've got it. So we'll get it to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Vicki?
When you send things out, Jim, please on your cover letter do state This is a copy of what you have already, just making sure you have it. That way we don't know, but if it were new material, just what is the new material so that we know what we're supposed to pay attention to and what we're not. And I think that's where we ran into a little bit of an issue previously when we didn't know what to do with a certain section of what was sent to us because there was no explanation.
Right. Totally understand. That's why the... when you saw your packet come out this time, you had a memo with the exhibits list on it, itemized. Mm-hmm. So we had it broke out for you, and I'll do something similar with that. It'll be much more abbreviated, but I'll have that so that you're aware of that, because I don't want that confusion again. We're gonna try and get in front of that, and but I also don't want to assume, because time goes on, that somebody may have been marking theirs up or whatever and want a clean copy, or you can take it. I'll designate it as what it is, use it, lose it, whatever you want to do, but at least you'll have a clean copy.
Thank you, Jim. And you're doing a great job, by the way.
Yeah. This is Carl. Mr. Brown, I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Did the two new members get... sent to the open government training website?
Yeah, we haven't had a chance to have that discussion because all this unfolded quickly.
I know, it happened real quick. I guess I should say, will they be?
Yeah, I think Joel is intimately familiar with it from his prior employment, but it might be good to brush up. Ed hasn't had it, so we will make sure we get that stuff too.
I did. Okay, and then there was also, I remember a couple of years ago, there was also a short course on local planning that was pretty beneficial. That came out of your office pre-you.
Yeah, and actually, Catherine behind me here and I were discussing this morning in a meeting we had specific to how to improve from our seats, how we can help with the Planning Commission process. And that was among the topics we discussed.
Great. You're on it. Thank you.
Yeah, we are. Thank you. We're trying. So.
With that, do we have any motions to close tonight's meeting?
Greg, I move that we adjourn.
Second.
We got a first from Greg and a second from Carl to close tonight's meeting. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Good night. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening.
Good night.
Thank you, Ryan. Nice job.
Thank you. Right. Nice job, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan. Did a great job.